Luke 2. Luke chapter 2. This is the second Sunday of Advent. The first Sunday last week we considered hope. This week we'll consider joy. Each week of Advent, I like to take an emphasis, a major virtue, a major theme that we find in the Scriptures, and think about that, ponder on that during the season. And today we'll think about joy. We'll think about joy, biblical joy, the joy that's found in Jesus. Last week we looked at hope. We think about joy today. I want to read just a short verse here to begin and then pray, and then we'll launch into thinking about this subject. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And Lord God, we do ask that you be with us as we look at these Scriptures today, as we think about your joy and the joy we find in you, Jesus. We just ask that you cover us and guide us in our thinking during this time. And we ask that you would minister to our hearts powerfully. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So joy is mentioned very, very frequently in the Bible, as you might suspect. Many places you find joy, and when you look at different Scriptures to think on for joy, the issue is what to leave out and not what to put in. Here at this time of year, we read about this statement, this angel saying, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Great joy for all the people. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." They had been anticipating that a deliverer, a Savior would come, and sure enough, God's Savior had arrived as announced by the angel. And this Savior is Christ the Lord. There's not a duplication of meaning of the words there. Savior, deliverer, delivering us from something, and we think about that frequently through the year, but delivering us from something. And this deliverer is Christ. He's the anointed one, the Messiah, the anointed one. And it's Christ, this anointed one. What else could be said about it? This one, this anointed one, is God, God Himself, the Lord, the Lord. The emphasis, the meaning there is that this is God, a Savior, Christ the Lord. Joy for all the people. So to gain a little more perspective on this, the subject of joy, I included John 15, the teaching of Jesus, John 15 in your listening guide. If you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to open to John 15. Such a powerful section. It's also, as I say, in your listening guides. Let me just read a few verses here that will help us to kind of put some perspective on this subject of joy. First thing we can think about on joy is what we're talking about in the Bible, and what the Bible describes is not the worldly joy. There's a distinction to be made between worldly joy and godly joy. The joy from the world, well, it comes from the world. And a lot of people are looking for joy from the world. Godly joy comes from God, and that's what the Scriptures talk about, the joy that comes from God. John 15, verses 1 through 11. Jesus teaches this: "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." Interesting there how the word cleanses. Verse 4, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Are you ready? Here we go. Verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. That's got to be one of the most powerful passages in the Bible. One of the most powerful verses in the Bible. There are so many, of course. We couldn't catalog them all. But verse 11 in the 15th chapter of John, Jesus is saying, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy, God's joy, the Messiah's joy, the chosen one's joy, the anointed one's joy, his joy, would be in you." Who? His disciples, his followers, his committed followers, those ones that have devoted their lives, committed their lives to him. Why? That your joy would be full. That your joy may be full. Just think how much God loves you. How passionate God is for you. He knows that you and I live in this world where we struggle to find joy. Really, we could summarize, if we would just condense down a whole lot of thinking about life and what it means to live, you know, in the world, maybe not biblically, but just living in this world. It's really to pursue joy, to pursue pleasure. The reason you want the job promotion is a little more pleasure. The reason you want the new roof on your house is a little more pleasure, a little less wetness. The reason you want to save the money for retirement is so that you can be insured that you would have pleasure of some measure in your retirement years. The quest in life is so much wrapped around seeking pleasure and seeking joy. And the God Most High, this God, the God we worship, the God of John 15, the God that comes to Bethlehem, wishes His joy, never-ending joy, overflowing joy, to come into you. How awesome is that? The joy of God to overflow into you as a believer, is to overflow into me, that is what God wants. That says something about the character of God and His love for His people and His passion for His people. That His joy, you would have a deep, what is joy? What a deep satisfaction in your heart. That you can move beyond just continual, daily, hour by hour discontent, and you can move into some satisfaction, joy in God. It comes from God, not from the world. Now, he makes interesting, uses interesting words in this passage. Of course, this is a beautiful passage out of John 15. He mentions that word fruit. And that can be a word that we could stumble over, the fruit. Abide in me and I in you. And he wants the branches to be bearing more fruit, verse 2. And he talks about this fruit, bearing fruit. And immediately what comes to mind when we think of bearing fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, I've included it in your listening guide. Now, when I think about the fruit of the Spirit, I think of it like this. I think about it in this way. There's several ways, but at least this way. If we take a fruit, take an orange. And when you peel back the outside of the orange, what do you have on the inside? You have these little pieces, right? There's these little, I don't know what you call them, slices. Whatever, there's what? Little segments, okay? Little segments of the orange. Now, some are a little larger than others. They're a little thicker. Some are a little thinner. But there's several of them in that fruit. So we could say the fruit was made up of these little aspects or these segments. When I think of the fruit of the Spirit, When I think of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, it's the fruit of God, the fruit of the Spirit. Each one of those aspects. You can't have an orange and not have those segments. You can't have a slice of apple inside the orange. That's kind of weird. Or you peel back the orange and there's some celery in there. No, that's really weird. You cannot be a believer in Jesus Christ. Yes, I said it. You cannot be a believer in Jesus Christ and not have some measure of each one of those aspects. That's not the way it works in John. I've got the love and I've got the self-control, but God just didn't give me the joy. He didn't give me the faithfulness or the gentleness. No, it doesn't work like that. If you're confirmed that you don't have that, then you don't have the Spirit and you're not a Christian. Romans 8, we won't go there today. This is a powerful verse. Galatians chapter 5. We're taking joy words. We're on a theme of joy. John chapter 15, abide in me. He wants you to bear much fruit. What's that mean? It can mean all kinds of things. People get mixed up on it. It can mean build more buildings. It can be more religious. It could be all kinds of different things like that. No, the fruit that God is concerned about is right here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 24. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Paul could go on, but he's just thinking, I need to move on. Things like these. But I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Number two, joy. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. So in John, Jesus is saying, I'm saying these things to you so my joy would be in you. It would abound. It would overflow. And we're learning, well, what is it about fruit? God wants the branch. We're a branch. Each one of us is a branch. God's the vine. We're the branch. He wants us to bear fruit. What is that fruit? It's these things. Out of these things flow other things. Out of love and peace, patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control flows out of us a gifting to work with children, for example. Flows out of that, out of us, out of those things flows out of us a gifting in music, not just to be a worldly musician, a gifting to use music for the glory and the sake of God. Flows out of this fruit. John 8, chapter 31 to 32, Jesus says this, if you abide in my word. So what about all that abiding? What is this abiding in Christ? If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Proverbs 17:22, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. That's a proverb. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. You ever met anyone that's kind of dried up? Proverbs 17. So friends, joy, biblical joy, is worth fighting for. Why? Because God commands it, and we need to do that. It's good medicine for your soul, for my soul, for our soul, the joy of God. Good medicine for a heart that's hurting. Joyful heart, good medicine. Okay. This leads us to a couple thoughts that we want to gather ourselves around. And the first one is, the Christian joy is something to be experienced and shared. Now, the angel announced that Jesus came and it was good news for all people. That word, Lord, of course, meaning absolute authority, absolute power in Jesus. And the reason it was joyful at that time and joyful today, one of the reasons is the God of the Scriptures seemed in some ways to many to be far off, distant, somewhere out there. And then here comes God, Christ the Lord. Here comes God in human flesh. God comes near. We could just take that. We could talk about the nearness of God for a long time. Nearness of God, but God demonstrates that He wants to come near you. It's not God's plan that God's way out there in the galaxy, He's way far away from you somewhere, or He's back here in room number 5 somewhere. What it's not, it's God wants to come near you. And your experience with fruit, your experience with love, your experience with joy will be conditioned on your nearness to God. He puts it on full display. Bethlehem. God comes near. Lesson, outtake, I want to be near you, brother. Sister, I want to be near you. Puts it so no one can miss it. Not way out there somewhere, some abstract philosophy. Nearness of God. Christian joy, biblical joy, the joy that John talks about, the joy we see in Jesus, the joy that God wants to give us is something to be experienced. And it's meant to be shared. Let's just take the idea of the vine and the branches for a minute. When the fruit comes onto the branch is experiencing that. No? Receiving nutrients from the vine. The branch, whatever fruit it's producing, oranges, grapes, whatever, it's experiencing it. God's joy is something for you to experience. But if the fruit stays on the branch, what happens? It's lost. It dries up. It's no good. Your joy is meant to be shared. And it's not your joy. We'll get to that in a moment. It's God's joy. But as a branch with fruit coming off of this branch, receiving nutrient from the vine, that branch is experiencing that growth. Growth in Christ-likeness. Growth, growing, experiencing that growth. And that growth is meant to be shared. You ever met anyone that doesn't have any joy? They don't have anything to share. They're not very pleasurable to be around. They don't understand why people don't want to be around them. The reason they don't want to be around them, they have no fruit that's worth sharing. It's withered up, dry fruit that is sour and it doesn't taste any good, and people don't want to be around it. But the born-again believer is different. Producing fruit that people want. Your fruit is meant to be shared. Your fruit is meant to be experienced. The joy that God gives you. Experienced and shared. You ever been around someone that's filled with the Spirit? You spend a long time around them. They're not talking about worldly stuff like, you know, job promotions or, you know, what kind of asphalt they put on the freeway or what, all that stuff. Not that that's not important. That's okay to talk about. But I'm talking about someone that's filled with the Spirit and they're sharing their joy. That's cool. That is really cool. No one, and the thing is, they didn't dial it in and say, I'm going to turn into this frequency today and I'm going to share my joy. It's just flowing out of them. And that's the Christian life. Grace. It's called grace. Everything from God is grace. It flows from on high within. God coming within you, living within you. And it flows out from you. Not meant to be kept in. Flows out. But people who have nothing to flow out, nothing's there to flow out, well, you can see that. I've said these things. I've spoken these things to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy would be full. The enormous lack in the United States of America today is a lack of people with joy, biblical joy. Got a lot of hatred, a lot of harsh language, a lot of name-calling, a lot of belittling, putting down, making fun of people, all of that. And there's just a big, huge vacuum of people with biblical joy. And if a person could come along or a group of people could come along and they were in the habit of sharing the fruit that God's putting into their life and moving through their life, why, it'd change the world. One person at a time, it'd change the world. It really would. Second thing, Christian joy is actually the joy of God. Notice there in that John 15 passage, again, that my joy may be in you. This joy, this life, if you want to call it that, this fruit aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, this fruit is actually the joy of God, the ever-flowing, happy, joyful God who's perfect in all ways, has no lack. It's His joy that's brought into experiential human reality. It's godly joy, not worldly joy. Godly joy. Experiential. The joy of God that's not way out there somewhere. The joy of God that comes miraculously to Bethlehem. The joy of God that grows and matures and goes to a cross to save sinners like me and like you so that His joy, His fruit, His life, the life of God would flow through you and out into other people, giving them life, giving them encouragement, exhorting them to live for God. It's the joy of God. Perfect joy. Never-ending joy. Agreed on that? So if you're like me, I hear an amen over here in the amen corner. Hallelujah for that. All the amens possible. If you're like me, I'm reading something like this. I'm seeing this and I'm saying, I want some more of this. This here. I want some more of this. Those sale ads that come out here in the box every day, Elizabeth laughs and laughs and laughs because we get so many sale advertisement ads in the mailbox out here. I want more of that. I want more of this. That's what we're all living for anyway. Let's just get on the right train track and live for this. God's making this available. We're living for pleasure and for joy anyway. God's saying, hey, I'm right over here, believer. Son, daughter, I'm over here. I'm ready to shower into your life. Right here. Don't listen to those people who say you're inadequate because you're not getting their 30% off on their sale. I am the overflowing fountain of joy, and it's available here for you. So this joy is not the kind of joy that's merely based on emotional highs and lows. Look, we all have good days, bad days. We might be a good month and not so good a month. Might be a really pressure-packed season of life. It's not so good in that season as other times. Those emotions, they come and they go and they rise and they go down. But God's joy overflowing into you is constant. God's joy comes and it's constant. Now, our abiding is not constant, but that's not because of an insufficiency from God. I've said these things to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. I love that word, full. I want fullness of joy. You? Yeah, I want fullness. I want to experience that fullness of joy. And Jesus said He's spoken these things. He's talking about abiding. I love Him for that He wants to do that. In a world that lacks so much joy. So this joy isn't based on emotional highs and lows. It's rooted in the nature of God. That's who God is. God is good. Now the song is they got it right. Good, good Father. He's good God. He wants to share His life, overflow into us. Not that we would become gods ourselves, but that His sons and daughters would overflow and be experiencing what His nature, be experiencing His nature. And this joy that we're talking about is based on the truth, the biblical truth, that God delights. Do you think of God delighting?
Or do you think of Him as a stern guy out there in the sky somewhere? God delights in allowing His joy to overflow into you. That brings great delight to God. That's His nature, His character.
So the joy we're talking about, the joy the angel announces, great joy for all the people, this joy is grounded, it's rooted in the nature of God. I want these people, I want my people to experience my joy. I'm sending a Savior. The sin issue can be dealt with. They won't have to incur my wrath. I'm sending my Savior so not only that they can check a box off, that they acknowledge that Jesus lived, but they can live with my fruit in their life, my Spirit in their life, and they experientially can experience me, and because of that experience, they share it with other people, and because of that, people are attracted to God. Not attracted to a building, not attracted to a program, not attracted to a version of some book that we're reading. They're attracted to God because people want that. They don't want sour. They want joy, not false joy. They want hypocritical joy. They want true joy, this kind of joy. God delights. So you have to know this about the character of God. All the things that we talk about are grounded, rooted in the character of who God is and what God offers His people, His nature. Okay, got it? I just want more of it. How do I do that? Let's just think through some things. Jesus talks about abiding. He talks about abiding. Abide in me and I in you. Notice that linkage. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Even Jesus says, you can do nothing apart from me. And what He's talking about is this fruit that we've already thought about. So this joyful heart, how do we get linked up with this joy? Well, it's from God. God's sovereign joy is dispensed according to His character, according to His will, according to His timetable. We can never say, God, I think I'll take a little bit of your joy from you and I'll take it over here. And you, no. He dispenses He is sovereign over all that. But there's some things that we can do to put ourselves in the right pathway of receiving the joy of God. There's some things that we can do. Human responsibility for you theologians. Human responsibility. While at the same time, God is sovereign over all of this. First thing we can do is praise God for His wonders. Praise Him. Be in the habit of praising Him. Psalm 107, verse 28 and following. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Have you experienced a storm stilling? Then they were glad. Another word for joyful. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and He brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord with His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to His children of man. Let them extol Him in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. Praising God. Being in the habit of praising God. Getting in that. A person can go for years, months, years, and not praise God and just think how the wonders of God. What are the wonders of God? Be a good Bible study. Seek the Bible. Go through the Bible and then think about our own life. You read the Psalms very far, you won't have any problem finding the wonders of God recited there. But then thinking about your own life, which leads us to the next sub-point. Remembrance of our own deliverance history of God. How do I get myself in link, in tune, in the pathway, in the channel, this joy of God? I want to please God. I want to abide. How do I abide? Well, praise God. And then remember your deliverance. Do you have a deliverance story? All of these people have a deliverance story. Have you been delivered out of Egypt? Two things can be at stake there. Either haven't given much thought to it and need to recalibrate my thinking about how God has delivered you, or either you haven't been delivered and you need to get delivered. It means you need to get saved. Everyone has a deliverance story because the Savior saving us from what? Deliverance. A deliverance story. That's a beautiful thing. Remembering your deliverance story. Remembering what it could have been if Christ had not been in my life. God delivered me from that. A young person is there. That's their place. You know, God's delivered me what it could have been. Oh, I know I'm only 13 years old, but what it could have been, even at 13 years. Thank you, God. A person on down the track in life a little further. Wow, I can just clearly see what could have happened in my life. Jesus entered my life. Deliverance. Delivered out of that jail cell like the apostle. Deliverance story. Rehearsing your deliverance story. That'll bring praise. Psalm 34, verses 17 and 18. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears them and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed spirit. Delivers them out of their troubles. Too many people have just assented mentally to a set of facts about Jesus. Jesus living a long time ago. And these are the facts of the Bible. They've never sought Jesus for deliverance from something. Is someone here today needing deliverance from something? Salvation is not simply an agreement with a set of facts. Those are important. Salvation is a desperate need for someone to deliver. Rehearse your deliverance story. Oh, you'll get filled with joy. Oh, God will just shower you with just these feelings of joy how you've been delivered. Prayer, being in communication with God. Scripture, guided praying. I'm going to read it again. Philippians 4, chapter 4 through 8. Rejoice in the Lord always. Okay, Paul, I hear you. You're telling me we see it on Thanksgiving. We see it through the year. Rejoice in the Lord always. Okay, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus. Anyone need their hearts or their minds guarded? Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about those things. Scripture-guided praying, filling our minds with Scripture, reading the Psalms, reading the Scriptures, and just taking a passage like that one and just praying all over it, all the things that God brings to your mind to pray over. Thanking God for His work of mercy, grace, goodness. Thanks, thanks. A few weeks ago, we thought about that at Thanksgiving, thanking God and the power that that brings. Immersion in the Word of God. Psalm 19, 7 to 8 says this, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul." Another powerful verse, another powerful text of Scripture. Do we believe this or not? Psalm 19, verse 7. Do we believe this or not? The law of the Lord is perfect, the Scriptures, reviving the soul. Do we believe the Scriptures will revive the soul? I hope you do. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right. Look at that. Rejoicing the heart. Two verses back to back. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. Then we drop down in verse 8. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. That's a promise. So why wouldn't we immerse ourselves in the Scripture? Just a little daily devotional reading. Well, you know, I'm happy you can do that, but I'm just trying to exhort you to immerse yourself in the Word of God. And all the time that you have available, immerse yourself, study it. Study it. Take a word like joy. Take a word and study it. Unwrap it. Go to the concordance and look at all the verses list of joy. Read it and study it and fill yourself with the word. Immersion in the Word of God. That puts us. That's the abiding. In fact, Jesus says that in John chapter 8. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Dialogue with believers who are likewise immersed in the Scriptures and the wonders of God. Look, we talk to people all day, every day about all kinds of things. Those are good conversations. They can be. They can be hurtful, but they can be good conversations. But do not neglect being in conversation, being in dialogue with people who likewise are immersed with the Scriptures. It'll just flow out of them. That encouragement, that joy that they have, will just flow out of you. Colossians 3, 16 to 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Thankfulness just comes over and over and over. But look at that verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Dwell. Immersion. I'm using the word immersion. We could use another word. Dwell. Fill you. We could use that word. Fill you and control you. Just overflowing in your heart. And then dialoguing with those people who are likewise doing that. You will find your joy rising. Your joy is rising and expanding because of their encouragement in the Lord. That fruit that's hanging on that branch in that person's life, it's extending out, and they're sharing it in your conversations. Too many of us have conversations that are trivial and trite, and they're not laced with the wonders of God. I'll just tell you how encouraging that can be. And finally, obedience to the commands of Jesus, the law of love. When that man came and asked Jesus, which is the greatest commandment, Jesus said, love God and love your neighbor. When we dive into that sacrificially, love God. With all of your heart, all of your mind, all your strength, all your soul, all of your being, love God. Better find out what love God means next week. Love your neighbor as yourself. The point there is we don't have trouble loving ourselves. People will use that as an excuse, and while they're making their excuse, they love themselves plenty because they're thinking about themselves all the time. They love themselves. That's the reason Jesus is saying, he flips it around, love your neighbor as yourself, because you're loving yourself plenty. Obedience to the law of love. Being involved. It doesn't have to be complicated. Just dialoguing with someone else. Ministering where the opportunity comes up. But obedience to the commands of Scripture. In fact, in that Abide passage, in verse 10, Jesus says this, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The importance of the commandments is right there. It's linked up. That's the previous verse before joy. Verse 11, the mention of commandments is in verse 10, John 15. In verse 11, these things I've spoken to you that my joy would be in you. We can't be disobedient to the Lord, or you can't just be indifferent to the things of God and then expect to experience His joy. So God, in His nature, wants His joy to overflow in you. You need to know this season, this Advent season, you need to know how great God loves you. And that's not just, I'm not just talking about some mumbo-jumbo kind of love that, you know, mythological God. No, really, God loves you so much. He wants His joy to flow over into you, and that joy just bubbles out of you into other people, into your life, and you experience it, and you share it with others, and you change the world in the process. The joy of God. The joy that comes through Jesus. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Yeah, it's really good news. It's really, really good news. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the good news of Jesus. Thank you for giving us your scriptures so we can, in small amount, God, just get our mind around some of what it means to experience your joy and your love and have the hope that only you can offer. Help us this week to abide. Help each of us. Help me. Help others in the room to abide, to take steps and put ourselves in a place where you're pleased and that your joy would just be experienced in our hearts and that you would be in a place where we could share that joy with other people. Lord, there are those many in the world around us and that we experience this, that we will have contact with this holiday season especially, and they'll be seeking joy. I pray that you give us the opportunity to just have a conversation, however long, however short, to point them to you, God. Help them to see you're a God of great love and mercy who wants your joy to overflow into their life. We would pray, Lord, that we would have opportunity to tell them about you, Jesus, the new life that is available through you. I pray for your congregation, Lord, here, there, your people. I pray you give health and protection where it's needed. For those in our fellowship that are having medical just concerns this week and this month, I pray that you would walk alongside them as we know you do, but walk alongside, lift them and encourage them and strengthen them as they go on that part of their journey. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.